So, you know, things like John Wick, but also things like Equalizer.
Yeah.
Ballerina.
Any Jason Statham film you care to mention apart from The Meg.
He's taking revenge against a shark.
It's not, well, I suppose, it's not really revenge, is it? Well, it's just a specialist.
Vengeance.
But, it's like it destroyed his good name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. He was besmirched by a shark. Besmirched?
Yes. Yeah.
Just So Jables.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Just So Jables Film Podcast with me, Jables.
Me, our kid.
Me, producer Ben.
So, here on the Just So Jables Film Podcast, we like to go and watch a film, give you our hot takes straight out of the cinema, which we're back doing this week with a new film that's only just come out, I think. Our kid, what is it?
Monkey Man.
Monkey Man. Not to be confused with just Monkey.
Monkey Magic. Ooh, Monkey Magic.
But before we get on to that, if you want to get in touch with the show, you can hit us up on @justsojables.com, Instagram, Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter. Mm-hmm. People still saying that?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. They really shouldn't have changed that name, should they?
No.
It's really dumb.
Anyway,
hello at JustSoJables is the email. Tell us what your thoughts and tell us if you want us to be watching anything else that you like. Ben, why don't you tell us? What are you on about this week?
Oh, okay. I can be on about several things this week because we watched a load of rubbish old films. Well, I say rubbish. You know when you go in a charity shop and it's 5 DVDs for £1? So we did that at the weekend.
Nice. I want to know all of them.
I'll let you know all of them. Were you going to do on our kid as well?
I'll probably just chime in with you and we'll do a joint one.
Okay.
That'll be easier.
Right, so we started off with Contact, which
classic.
Is Jodie Foster, Matthew McConaughey, based on Carl Sagan's book about extraterrestrial life, radio signals from a distant star.
I can't believe you haven't got this on DVD already.
We do. It's just in storage.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is going to be a theme, by the
way. Is this happening? So,
yeah.
Right, okay.
£5, you can double up.
Yeah.
It's fine.
We haven't not watched it for a few years. We used to watch it quite a lot. It's still really good film. It's quite long. It's like 2.5 hours long, Jables.
I watched it. Oh, you don't have to introduce it. I was going to say, I watched it on the plane on the way back from America because it was on randomly. I thought, I haven't seen it. It's exactly the same. Mm. Haven't seen it for ages. Stuck it on. Randomly, the person, one seat in front and two to the left, was watching Contact as well. It was really random. And you know how many films you get on those things.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, no, it's still a good film. It's still got that ambiguity. It's like, were there really aliens? Was the whole thing a hoax? They build this massive machine. One of them blows up. Spoilers.
By the
then there's another secret
don't
one.
Don't get too attached to Tom Skerritt.
Yeah. Don't get attached to Tom Skerritt or his mustache. The Japanese have secretly built a second copy. They pop Jodie Foster in, drop her through. She sees her dad on a beach, blah, blah, blah. When you put it like that, it sounds rubbish, but it's actually quite a good fun film.
It's a good film.
It's great. I really like it.
Then we went on to Candyman.
Right.
Again, also in storage.
Also in storage.
Yep.
Original, I'm presuming.
Yep. So Virginia Madsen, Tony Todd.
Yeah.
This one, I think we actually got from our neighbours down the road at the retro shop. So they weren't all £5.
Right.
Because we were going in there looking for Hellraiser, which we didn't find, but we put it on order with them as much as you can order things from
there.
But yeah, still also awesome.
Yeah.
What did we do then?
Well, shall I pick
I think,
from here?
Yes. You should pick up.
We then watched Beaches.
Oh, really?
Yeah, from the £5. Classic 80s, which I think we've also talked about on the podcast before. But yeah, Ben said it's one of those films that he not loves to hate, but doesn't admit to liking, on a par with First Wives Club, those kinds of films.
Yeah.
Guilty pleasure. That's what they call it.
It's quite
genuine
funny.
Guilty pleasure. You've seen it, haven't you?
I think I have, but not for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
I can't even remember. Is it Bette Midler?
It's Bette Midler and Barbara Hershey.
I think we have this conversation each time we talk about it as well. And I'm just like, yeah, I've seen it, but I can't remember anything about it. But I kind of know everything about it. A bit like The Lion King.
Mm.
Yeah. It's one of those films that I think people know about from other films because it's often referred to. It's in Spy, there's the Beaches Watch.
And yeah.
In and Out, there's a Beaches joke. Must Love Dogs. You know,
Must Love Dogs. I've never, never seen that.
Yeah,
don't know what you're talking about.
It's on the guilty pleasure list.
Anyway, moving swiftly on, we then watched Twister.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, which is a good fun film.
It's a great film.
I mean, it's a great film, but it's also a terrible film. But, you know, it's good fun to watch. Our kid, you said something funny about it, though, after we'd watched it. And then, probably it was the next day, like on Sunday, you said...
Yeah, I pointed out that everyone in Twister is an asshole, except Melissa.
Oh, yeah, I know. She's the only nice person in it.
She's
the
only one that's not a complete a-hole.
Yeah.
So she deserves better.
Yeah.
Definitely.
No, definitely. Oh, and the grandma, probably.
No.
Well,
she's a pain in the ass as well.
She's not really an asshole,
though,
she's
got terrible hair.
Yeah.
Terrible
artwork in a garden.
Stupid house that falls down.
What about the dog?
The dog's an asshole.
Well,
Yeah.
There's a woman who serves some coffees at the diner. I think she's probably okay.
But... yeah. And I think, well, there's a new one of them coming out soon,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know when that is. When's that dated, slated for? I don't know.
I think it's next year, but I guarantee everyone will be an asshole.
Yeah. I think it's, they all look it as well from the trailer.
Mm. I haven't actually seen the trailer.
Have you not?
Okay. I'm just putting it out there. But we do love it, don't we?
Yeah, we do love it.
It's great fun.
Yeah. But it's dumb.
I mean, the effects don't look that great these days, no. I don't think.
I think the only thing that looks bad are like the flying cows and stuff.
Yeah.
I think the rest, like the actual twist of stuff.
I think it's fine. I wouldn't say it stands up. A few years ago, we watched it and we'd say, yeah, the effects still totally stand up. Now I'm not so sure. They do look a little bit wobbly. When a truck comes out of nowhere with weird proportions. And...
it's weird proportions, the way it moves kind of slow motion as well.
Yeah. Mm. But then bounces over the top of them.
Yeah.
Things like that. Yeah.
Anyway, so that's us.
That's all it is, isn't it? I'm talking about old stuff as well, because I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that we started watching the Pirates films.
No.
Yeah, you did. That was a long time ago, wasn't it? Well, not a long time ago. It was good for you.
Yeah, it was probably like 4 or 5 weeks ago. Yeah. Well, we finally got into Pirates 2 and 3 in the last week, because I had a few days off last week. So, yeah, as predicted, and in my mind, I wasn't wrong, they definitely decline in quality.
Oh, yeah.
But there's still some good bits in it. I like it. I think I'd said this when I talked about it before. I like Jack Sparrow when he's being less Jack Sparrow, when he's just being kind of like slightly devious and a bit normal. But I actually liked it more rewatching than I thought I would, which was quite surprising. But there are some dumb bits in it as well.
Mm.
But I think, and I realised what I like about it most is Captain Barbossa.
Captain Barbossa. Rush. Yeah. He's great,
he's
isn't he?
So good in those. And he's still really good in 2 and 3.
Yeah, he is.
Well, 3 mainly, because he pops back. But... and he's excellent in it, and he really holds it together for me, which is kind of bad when it's, it's supposed to be a Jack Sparrow thing.
Yeah.
But I remember, and we watched a trailer for 4 and 5, which we're going to be, we've got to be completionist. I'm pretty sure he goes like all a bit poncy, doesn't he? Isn't he trying to be a little bit well-to-do, Barbossa? And his character kind of changes, and I'm just like...
we haven't seen 4 and 5.
Have you not?
No.
I would have...
we stopped at the end of 3 and went, oh, thank God.
So I'll let you know probably in the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah. But the first one is high. Great film. Mm. It's
really
a high
good.
Watermark film. And it's spooky and it's bits and pieces. And actually, there's some spooky bits at the start of 3 and stuff. There's some creepy bits there, which I actually quite liked.
Which is the one with Bill Nighy in?
2 and 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
They do go downhill.
Yeah.
But...
the idea of the Flying Dutchman is awesome. But
it
just,
is great.
But, and
there's and a
bits
bit
of it work. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, there's a bit at the beginning of the second one where they're like hanging people and they say, oh, they've started singing. And the guy says, oh, thank God. And then nothing comes of that. And it was a really good setup to, woo, what's going on here? Still don't know what was going on there. They just moved on to something else.
Yeah.
Mm, I love the humour in the first one. My favourite bit, and I think about this loads, is when... Captain Barbossa says, thank you, Jack. And Jack Sparrow goes, well, that's all right. He says, not you. We named the monkey Jack.
Yeah.
And I just laugh every time I even think about that.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's good.
Yeah, some good old stuff then.
Yeah.
Well, on to this week, though.
Well, we didn't talk about last week, did we?
Oh, yeah, because we've had a bit of a... well, we had Retro Reels last week, technically, didn't we?
We haven't talked about Frozen Empire.
Okay, you better tell us about...
Do you want to skate over that?
Slide on by. Yeah. No,
let's talk Frozen Empire.
Yeah, okay. Sorry.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, so we always try and see how right or wrong we got it in our previous reviews. So go on, Arkid, tell us. How did we do?
Well, Rotten Tomatoes was very interesting because 44% critic score for Frozen Empire... 83% audience score.
What?
Which surprised me a lot. I didn't dig really, I couldn't get to the bottom of it looking at the reviews because all the audience reviews that I read seemed to be fairly negative. So I don't quite see where that 83% has actually come from. Maybe. But on a budget of $100 million, it's made back $138 million, which I think is considered a flop these days. So Robbie Collins of The Telegraph gave it 1 star out of 5. No one's been positive, really. And said, the franchise is being necromantically sustained through force of sheer commercial desperation.
Okay.
Alex
well done for making something up.
Yeah. I think Alex Godfrey of The Empire said kind of what you said. 2 out of 5 he gave it and said it was an overpopulated mishmash with too many heroes to wrangle. which was your point, really, wasn't it? There were just too many.
A lot of people.
Too many notes. And then Wendy Eyde of The Guardian, because I want to throw The Guardian in for Ben, because I know you've been missing.
Do love it.
Missing their thinking. 2 out of 5, an uninspiring sequel which fails to make the most of its young stars. Hmm. So not much love. And where there appeared to be love, I couldn't find where it was actually coming from.
Yeah.
So time for a sleep.
My podcast people that I listen to, on the Week Planet, it was quite interesting. Almost thought it sounded like I'd listened to it, listened to the review beforehand, because it was very similar to what we were saying. So much so that he also had a rant about make it good. You've got this wealth of lore and stuff that you could pull from. You don't have to keep rehashing the same things and the same characters. You could literally make up any story that you wanted to and make a good one up. Stop rehashing stuff. I think he even said about, because I think I said about Andor, didn't I? I think he said about, like, really? You know, you watch the Star Wars stuff that works really well. It's kind of the stuff that uses Star Wars as a base, but it moves well past that with its own interesting stories. Mm. And that's what they should do. And I basically, it's a little bit of a drawing the line moment almost for me as well. Mm. I think if they don't do that on the next one, I'll probably check out, because I just won't be in. I'll probably watch them when they come on TV. I probably won't bother watching them in the cinema if they don't do something different on the next ones.
It's kind of put me off Ghostbusters for retro reels next.
Has it?
It's made me think, I think we need to give Ghostbusters a little bit of a break.
Just a bit of time to relax.
We were on a break.
Yeah, a bit of distance. Yeah.
Fair enough.
No, I still think it was a bag of nails. I wouldn't probably go so far as to say like 1 star. It's maybe is a 2 star.
It is a 2 star, yeah.
But yeah, it's disappointing.
Well, there we go.
On to this week then.
Monkey Man.
Who's going to tell us all about the film?
I can tell you a little bit about the film.
Okay, go on then.
Not really.
I am referring to our friends at IMDb for a little mini synopsis. Obviously, I won't rob you of the fun you're going to have later, Ben, putting a synopsis
together.
Yeah,
I'm not going to have any idea what's going on in this film, am I?
No.
An anonymous young man unleashes a campaign of vengeance against the corrupt leaders who murdered his mother and continue to systematically victimise the poor and powerless. Mm-hmm. So there's a little nugget for you. Stars Dev Patel, directed by and produced by Dev Patel. And the story was written by Paul Angunawala, John Colley and Dev Patel.
Yeah. So it's very much his ship then, Dev Patel's. I mean, Dev Patel of, last thing I saw was probably Green Knight, actually, that he was in. But he's of Slumdog Millionaire, isn't he?
Yeah, David Copperfield.
Yeah.
Which I haven't finished. I'm halfway through.
Have you actually
I think you might have to pay for it on Prime now, I haven't gone back to it. But I enjoyed what I saw. It wasn't out of any kind of protest. I stopped watching it. I just had to do something else and never went back.
Yeah, and the Lion as well, wasn't it? That's the one where he was...
With Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I like Dev Patel. It's also got Sharlto Copley, is it? Is it Sharlto Copley?
Sharlto Copley, yeah.
Who we know from District 9.
Yeah. Elysium.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Chappie, those kind of things. South African. So, yeah, I'm quite interested in this. All I know is the first time we saw the trailer. I think we saw it for the first time in the cinema. It just literally popped up out of the blue as a cinema trailer. And I know there's that common thing that people kind of say, it's like, oh, it looks like an Indian John Wick style film. It had that style in the cinema as well. When you're watching it, it's very much fast action, physical action, revenge, vengeance, however you want to call it in a film. So it would be nice to see it in actually a different scenario, actually, rather than just seeing it in an underworld America or European setting. It would be nice to see it somewhere differently. Never really seen it in an Indian setting.
No.
So I'm quite interested to see that, just to see what, you know, how it worked, you know, just how the culture seems around this, how it's portrayed. I haven't really got that much more to add at this time. It's going to be one of those ones I very much have to get to it when I see it.
Mm-hmm.
But you are
good. Yeah, same really. This morning I said to Ben, I don't know if I'm looking forward to this really. And he said, but it's a big revenge film. So I was maybe then. And I think, like you said, be sort of big, colourful, might be quite cathartic. Yeah, I am actually looking forward to it. So, yeah, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, I should enjoy it in principle, on paper, however you want to put it. So, you know, things like John Wick, but also things like Equalizer.
Yeah.
Ballerina.
Any Jason Statham film you care to mention apart from the Meg.
He's taking revenge against a shark.
It's not, well, I suppose, it's not really revenge, is it? Well, it's just a specialist.
But it's like it was... It destroyed his good name.
Yeah.
Okay. He was besmirched by a shark. Besmirched?
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm kind of quietly looking forward to it, I think. Am I right in saying that Jordan Peele is a producer on this as well?
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if, what else are we going to get? I mean, it might just literally be a revenge action film, or it might have something to say. Because obviously we think like Jordan Peele films often have something to say.
Mm.
So you wonder if he's involved because it's like, well, let's see how we can make the film say something.
Yeah.
Mm. So there's obviously going to be like social status aspects, there's going to be oppression aspects, things like that. Are they going to come out in the film? Because that's in the setup, isn't it?
So
you've got some oppressive baddies who've done something bad to a group of people at some point in the past. And how's that going to play out?
Yeah, I'd hope there's more complexity to it than, you know, Sharlto Copley's the baddie just because he's the white guy.
Yeah.
You know, I hope that he is actually a complex villain as well.
Yeah. I think you've got, on that you say about the complexities, there's, just by the title, it's kind of introduced in the trailer as well, isn't it? About the Monkey Man, who's almost like a spiritual kind of protector.
Yeah.
Mm.
I'd be interested to see if any of that, you know, where that aspect sits in the film.
So, like, there might be a sort of supernatural.
I don't know. I don't know. Element. It's, you know.
Supernatural.
Well, supernatural. Or I was thinking almost like the boogeyman in Bubba Yeager, John Wick style. You know, that's how people see him, or he's like almost like a mythical kind of figure, and he grows into that, or he was that. You know, I don't know. That's, you know, it's quite nice to have a property that seemingly is hopefully good. I haven't seen reviews, but I don't know. I've heard a lot of people who've kind of seen the trailer and been, oh yeah, I heard that's good. I don't know where they heard it from because I don't know how long it's been out for, but I've spoken to 3 or 4 people that said, oh, I heard that's good. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to something I don't know anything about, and hopefully it'll be good.
Yeah.
There we go then. Let's head off.
Let's go.
Bye.
Let's have some dinner first and then head off.
Okay. And we're back. We've just seen some monkey men in Monkey Man. Who's going to tell us what the story is all about?
I can have a go, if you like.
Go on then, Ben.
This is producer Ben over here, by the way.
Thanks, Ben.
So, Monkey Man, we've just seen, kicks off with the story of Dev Patel playing Kid / Bobby / Monkey Man. And he's a guy with a tragic backstory from when he was a kid. He's orphaned. He's living in the big city. And he's trying to survive by basically working at a fight club, throwing games for money for his dodgy boss in the ring, getting pummeled every night. That sounds wrong.
Yeah.
He'd make a bit more money that way.
Yeah, he would. And that's how he's surviving, out on the streets. But he's got some chip on his shoulder, and he's got some people he's after. And he's going to infiltrate their stuff and their clubs and places they hang out. And he's going to befriend people and work his way up and then unleash hell. There we go.
Excellent.
I like it. So, yeah, not really too much to spoil, but we won't give anything too obvious away, I don't think. Where to start? I really liked it. It was a good film. I think, where do I tread? I think there's those obvious comparisons that you'd have to something like John Wick, especially when there's dog part early on and you're like, no.
There's a little dog.
But it was all fine. So there was a lot of things it pulled from, but it actually worked in its own merit as well. This is another revenge film. Some of them can be throwaway. It depends on the quality of the acting, the quality of the story, just how well it's put together. And I think this is definitely in the higher end of those films. Not necessarily that original in places, but what is original about it is the setting, is the themes, and, like, you know, the mythology, the Indian mythology and the aspects that it brings into it actually elevates it and makes it interesting because you don't know all that stuff. That hasn't been seen before like that. You know, there's bits that reminded me of kind of in Enter the Dragon, actually. I was thinking about in places. It was quite like that in terms of he's kind of like, he knows that what's happened to him in the past, but he doesn't necessarily know everything about it. And he's kind of working out, but it doesn't matter because he's still going to be taking his revenge anyway. So, no, I liked it. Our kid.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I feel mostly positive about it. I thought that, just as an overview, I thought the story was great and it was original. I know, like you said, it draws from other things, but I think it stood on its own merit, and that was the strength of the storytelling, but also the strength of the acting. And we were saying earlier about Sholto Copley. We were a bit worried that he was just going to be the stereotypical white guy, but he wasn't.
Yeah, he was.
He was an asshole.
Yeah, he was. Yeah,
but he wasn't the main asshole.
No, that's right.
And the people who were the more, I don't want to say big bad, but the worse, more ingrained villainy, they were good. You know, they were well acted. Mm. They were scary. They were badassed, but they weren't just throwaway villains. And yeah, and the good and bad, there wasn't really any ambiguity there. The villains had no saving merits, did they? They
no.
were just awful, awful yeah. people, and you were really looking forward to the escalation of their getting their comeuppance. Yep. So I've got a few little holes to pick, but as a general overview, I thought it was really good. Mm. Ben?
One thing I didn't realise going into this film was that it's an 18, and I think obviously the reason for that is it's ultra-violent, so
yeah,
John Wick-style stuff, but lots of close-up, gory, nasty deaths,
yeah,
lots of very aggressive fight sequences. And I think they did that quite well, because there were two things I was slightly worried about in this film. When the 18 card flashed up, I was like, oh no, this is just going to be ridiculous fights the whole way through.
Yeah.
And it kind of is in places, but they don't overplay it.
No.
And it is ridiculous, but it feels like they've not overplayed that. So that worked quite well. The other thing I was a bit worried about was whether it was going to be too much like messaging and politics. And there is a bit of a thread through that, but yeah, it's kept in the context of the actual characters that are in the story, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's not trying to ram home some bigger message about something.
Yeah.
It's just gently there in the background. So in that sense, I think this probably sounds a weird thing to say, like it's like ultra-violence mixed with subtlety.
Yeah. Because
there is quite a lot of subtlety in the film, and the main character is quite quiet.
Yeah.
It just quietly goes about things. Not in a kind of like cynical way. I think it just happens quite naturally.
Yeah.
There is obviously some ridiculous stuff in this film. I mean, but one thing I have to make special mention of, training montage. Right.
Yeah.
Bit
yeah.
of a different spin on that.
Yeah, yeah. It was. I quite liked
we
it.
We chuckled, so, didn't
yeah.
we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was quite funny. But then you do still get, so you're talking about like, it's an original setting and it's an original take on the story, but it doesn't really do anything new. It is just a revenge. Mm. It's a revenge story, essentially. And it has all the stuff you'd expect even from like a revenge film from the 70s or the 80s. And it's got the kind of the hero's arc and all that kind of stuff, being beaten down and then taking a moment, training up, coming back. But then coming back like 500% stronger than he's ever been in his entire life.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of like suspending disbelief there. But that's fine because it's just the style of the violence, isn't it? You know, like in real life, if you're even if you're trained for it, if you went into some of those fights, you'd last about 30 seconds and you'll have to have a sit down.
Yeah.
But it just keeps coming for like 8-10 minutes, like bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
There's a bit of humour in this film as well.
Yeah.
Which I think elevates it, because some of these sorts of revenge films can be too serious, like they're trying to be too slick and too edgy. But there were some funny characters and some funny little moments.
Yeah.
And like even the bits in the fights, which that whole, like, almost like the Jason Statham transporter thing. I'm using a ridiculous device to defeat my enemy, like a serving tray or whatever. Just a few random thoughts. But so I think the thing is, this is a good film. People should go and see it. If you're thinking about watching it, you should go and see it. But it's not going to be a complete revelation. It is still just a revenge film.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah, I think it's well worth watching for sure. You know, there's a couple of things that are really good in it. The soundtrack's really good.
Oh, it was amazing.
Yeah.
I couldn't keep still half the time. It was
club beat bits in the VIP lounge. I was really enjoying that. I wish some of them had actually played out. That some of the tunes got cut a bit short. And I guess, you know, they didn't want to be just like John Wick or the other things where you have those kind of like, it's the classic entering the nightclub scene kind of stuff.
But I can often find the music overpowering when it gets very loud in those kinds of things. And it was very loud, but it really suited it.
Yeah.
It worked really well.
Yeah. We had a bit of a differing opinion on, it's shot very close up.
Mm.
It's quite a lot of shaky cam or handheld cam. And I would probably say 80% of the time it worked for me. Like, and I'm talking about the whole of the film. There were times during it that for me, it felt, it was too close and it felt that I was missing some, you know, that it was so close that I wanted to see what was happening around it at times. I didn't mind it in the fight sequences because it goes side to side. It but almost like a couple of times when I wanted to see a bit more of the streets, of the scenes, of the of sometimes just the people around, it felt a little bit, and it did. The thing is, though, it's not that it felt claustrophobic. It just felt literally that the angles were too tight at times for me.
Yeah, I felt very much the same. That was my main criticism of the film, was that a lot of it felt very, very close.
Yeah.
And I got that feeling I get sometimes where I felt like I should have been sitting much, much further back.
Right.
And I don't think it was because the screen was too, you know, that I was too close to the screen.
No.
You know, when you saw someone's face, you were right in their face.
It was tight.
And that was a lot of the time.
Yeah.
I don't think that, well, I don't know if it was intentional as a device or whether it's just how the film came out, because I know that it's Dev Patel's directorial debut.
Yeah.
So part of me is wondering, could a more experienced director have opened it out a little bit more?
Yeah.
I still think it was very good and it looked very good and the colour and the vibrancy and everything came across, but I just felt too close.
It was
a lot of the time.
Yeah. Like I said, for me, it wasn't the bits where it was the fights. It was almost like when they're fighting in the arena, that's fine then. But you wanted to see a bit more of the crowd, but you only saw a tiny section of the crowd. And, you saw lots of tiny sections.
Mm.
So it wasn't like there wasn't lots of people there and or things going on, but you never got kind of like a wider sort of aspect or the whole scene being played. And you know, and it was that, for you know, there's a bit with a I say car chase, it was a putt-putt chase. So that bit didn't work for me because it was so narrow.
I kind of disagree,
because
I think it suited the setting of the film, because this is like where it's obviously set like in an Indian city, so there is some broader aspect to it, I think, because you do get a few shots over the city where you can see the different parts of it. So you've got the high-rise like skyscrapers, and then in the foreground you've got where everyone actually lives, which is all like the shacks and the back streets and stuff. And I think it was probably deliberate to keep it tight,
right?
Because you get those occasional bits, but most of it's very close, because I think they were trying to give the impression that everything is really tightly packed in those cities, and it's frenetic and everything's close and things are happening quickly. Because there's even bits like near the start where so he has to contrive someone kind of getting their purse snatched so that he can then run around the other side and get it and stuff like that. And so you get that bit where it's like lots of different characters all taking the purse and dropping it down a little chute and this, that and the other. So from my perspective, because they did that kind of stuff, I think it was all deliberate. I think it was like, look, this is just absolutely crammed together. Everyone's very close together. Things are happening. But even when you go into the club, even there, it's like everything's quite claustrophobic and tight in. There's no windows and stuff like that. So I think it was deliberate and it didn't really distract
me. But I would have liked to have seen it pulled out a bit more at times just to get a better sense of scale. But as a visual experience, I did find it a bit uncomfortable sometimes. Mm. And I could feel myself pulling backwards, you know, in the kind of vain hope that it would pull out a bit.
I feel like I'm somewhere in the tree. It didn't make me feel uncomfortable. So, I totally agree with Ben. Like, it's designed like that, but you showed, like, how tight things are, and then you broaden it out to see what the actual scale was. Whereas those shots like this of going into the city were so almost, like, quick. And every time there was, like, a helicopter flying through or something else distracting you while that shot was happening. But overall, it did actually look really good. I don't think that distracts from the actual look and the setup of it. And, you know, as we said, it's got that mythological setting, which I found like the paintings and bits and pieces almost unsettling at times, weren't they? When they show them, you're like, yeah, it's interesting how they set the things up, the themes up. There's clearly some kind of political unrest, and there's a lot probably in this film that I don't necessarily know about. I don't know how much of it is a commentary on existing political thoughts and in India. I'm afraid I don't know enough about the clashes politics, of religious and religion and politics and how that actually, but you actually get a really good idea of the streets and of the thoughts of people, and it doesn't hide away some like nasty theme, and you can see how it clashes together. So you've got the people who are off the streets just trying to earn a buck. And it's, you know, it's so far reached from the people who are in the VIP clubs, and they don't, you know, they literally say in there, these people don't see what's happening. Because they don't care. Mm. So yeah, it was interesting in that regard. And I think you said earlier, it didn't feel necessarily forced into your face. It wasn't like it was there to make you feel bad. It was just like, yeah, look.
Yeah, yeah. It's just part of the story, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. And there were some transgender characters in the film, and often in Hollywood films, characters can feel manipulative.
Yeah.
You know, it can, well, not characters, but it can feel like in the Doctor Who episode that we watched, there was a transgender character in that who labored pronouns and all those kinds of things. And you do feel manipulated.
Yeah.
Didn't feel that at all with this. They were just, there was just a transgender community, and they were great. You know, they were just nice people.
They were nice people. And they just kind of said they don't like us.
Yeah. And it just worked.
As you said, they weren't trying to make you think a certain way. They were just people being normal.
Yeah, that's it.
And it's quite nice to, you know, to be in that. And there's themes of, you know, of sex trafficking in there, isn't there?
Yeah.
And they don't shy away from nasty stuff in the film, but they don't glorify it either. They I think the levels and the tones of things like that in this film are actually done really well.
Mm.
They're quite matter of fact. You know, they're telling you it's not good by the shooting, by the framing. They're not kind of, there's not like someone going, here, see, this is bad. You just kind of like, it feels nasty and seedy and just like,
yeah, it's just kind of grim, isn't it? Yeah. It's not kind of, I say it's not glamorized, but like the bits in the club are, but then they put that edge onto it as well, don't they? Because I mean, like in a lot of films, like you say, with like a Hollywood film in that situation, it would be done quite, they'd ramp up the glamour and they'd make it look like it would be cool to be there.
Yeah.
Whereas here they don't do that. They show you the place and then it's like, it's immediately, obviously, everyone's just horrible and seedy.
Yeah.
And it's just no one really wants to be there, but everyone feels they have to be there.
Yeah.
It's all that kind of stuff.
They weren't trying to blame anyone, I think was interesting. Mm. They're just saying, this is what happens. Mm. Maybe they were trying to blame like the elite, but they weren't saying, you're an elite, you know, they weren't blaming what middle-aged white men, they weren't blaming anti-trans. They were just saying, these are shit people, you know, and you got it. You didn't, it weren't made to feel guilty about it in any way. It was just like, it's something that's, it ain't good.
We were talking about the villains earlier, weren't we? But the guy who was the corrupt policeman was really good.
He was really good.
Because he was scary and he was a badass. He was massive and you really got the sense that he would kick the shit out of you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, having that quality of character was refreshing, to be honest.
And it wasn't necessarily, didn't fall into the stereotypes either, because, you know, you often get like the, I mean, he did a bit. He was in the club. He was, you know, he was saying something to his mate.
Like belittling him.
Yeah. And you were like, you're a bully type.
Yeah.
You know, and it's obvious. But it wasn't like overplayed like that. But you go and he's a nasty guy. Mm. You're a nasty piece of work. So, yeah. And I think that, you know, a lot of this is why it works, is because of the source. It's because of well-written, well-thought-out.
And he wasn't even the main villain, was he? The main villain, the escalated top level villain. You don't even realize is a, I mean, you kind of get a sense,
know.
But you don't get the extent of who he is. He's like a Bond villain in the background, isn't he?
He is. He's like Mr. Han in Enter the Dragon.
Yeah.
That's what I had.
Absolutely.
And the police chief is O'Hara.
Yeah.
There
we
go. That's why that popped him in. What is interesting about that though? So you see certain things in flashback and like close-up flashback, and it plays out completely later in the film, so you know what's happening. Like I said, you know in it, I don't know why I keep saying it in Enter the Dragon, you know in Enter the Dragon who the baddie is, you know who the bully is. So, you know, I like that. I've got a couple of things there's a couple of things that didn't quite land for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think you mentioned something about when the, they're not quite editing, but there was a couple of little choices that happen that feel that they're there to push the plot forward, not necessarily what you'd think would happen in those homes. So, for instance, there's this great build, and it's a great build-up of him infiltrating the baddies' kind of like operation. And it's really tense, you know, him building up to doing something about it. When he does, and that scene all works really well. Then he runs away, and that didn't work for me because I thought he'd put so much into getting into this situation. It was almost like, all right, we need to get him out of there. So what does he do? He runs away. If the other guy had run away, I'd be like, okay, that makes sense. If he'd got away and pulled out and something, but he's the one that makes the choice and runs away partway through this, you know, life-changing thing that he's built himself up massively to do. And you mentioned about there's something that happens with the friend.
Yeah, there's a bit where his friend, he sort of rescues his friend.
Yeah.
Halfway through, yeah. A third of the way through. And I think it just would have worked better the other way around.
It would have made more sense.
Yeah. Mm.
And it was a couple of little things like that where, but it's not, I think some of the worst parts actually of this were some of the bigger sequences, I think, for me. So I don't think something with the car chase didn't quite work for me. Mm. Something when the police were after him, really good when he was stuck in the room with the police, but when he was in the car running across rooftops, I was like, I don't know what it was. It just didn't feel right for me.
Right. Mm.
But what I did quite like, and I don't know, you know, I don't know if it's good or bad, when he jumps in, when he lands up in the river, he's not like floating through this river of kind of like sinking to the bottom through this crystal clear river. No. It was dirty and yeah. shitty. Yeah. And I was feeling a bit queasy when it was like, I was like, oh, I don't want to be in there.
Yeah, yeah. There's some nasty bits. Another bit was when he has to put his hand down the toilet to get the gun as well. Yeah. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Because it's not nice in there.
No, no. I love the use of the dog, though. I know we said about like,
yeah. John.
That was really clever. Because you're like,
You are like, it's really cute.
Yeah, it's really cute. But I didn't see that coming. So that was really, that's really
there
clever.
Was a John Wick reference, wasn't there? Yeah. I think someone did actually say something about John Wick early on. Yeah.
So
it's obviously not part of the John Wick universe. That would be a bit too much.
Unless he's a real assassin that everyone knows about.
Unless he meant, real and John Wick and not the film John Wick. Yeah.
So final thoughts then, our kid.
Well, yeah, like Ben said, just go and see it. It's a really good film. You know, you can pick holes in it and there were things that obviously made it imperfect, but that doesn't mean it wasn't a great film because it was.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah, same. I mean, it's you've seen this story before, but this is just a bit of a different take on it. I think you'll enjoy the action sequences if you go and see it. You'll enjoy performances and the look and feel of it. So yeah, I'd give it, I don't know, turbo jet powered put out of course out of films. I guess
nice.
Yeah, I think I'd echo both of that. It's I won't say it again, but you've seemed similar. I think the setting was enough to elevate it for me because I was thinking it wasn't in the world of the Continental. You know, we didn't really mention much about the actual fights as well that he's in and the Monkey Man mythos. But I think that's something that you want to learn when you're watching the film. Actually, they do mention it in the trailer, but it's actually nice to watch it in the film.
Yeah.
I would say. Don't be surprised if you're surprised by it. How does that...
Fine.
What a wanker.
Anyway, moving swiftly on.
Yeah. Well done, Dev.
Yeah.
Nice.
Trailers? Yeah,
nice. Trailers. Ben, what were the trailers?
The Watched.
Was that what it was called?
I think so.
I thought it was The Watching or The Watchers. I wasn't sure.
I thought it was The Watched.
I like it.
Yeah. From the Shyamalan...
Twisted mind of...
Sort of house of... Shyamalan
household.
Yeah.
I think it is, isn't it? Because it looks to be produced by M. Night Shyamalan, but written and directed by a different Night Shyamalan.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's one of his kids.
I don't know.
His mum. I don't know.
So that's Dakota Fanning. What does it look like, Ben?
It looks like stylish bullshit.
Oh, really?
So it's a bunch of people. It looks like a bunch of people just in the woods somewhere, but in a kind of glass box, like a modernist sort of house, who become aware that they're being watched by something that they can't see.
At nighttime, yeah.
And they get a bit scared about it.
Mm. Looks like they can come out in daytime, though, but
can't get away.
It looks like a car advert, but with edgy music or something.
I did think it was an advert to start with, because it didn't move into the trailers in an obvious way tonight, did it? That just seemed to sort of merge from the adverts. Yeah. So, yeah, I took a minute to realise it was... I think you sort of tapped me and went, ooh, have you seen this trailer before or something? But no, I hadn't.
Yeah.
I must admit, I see M. Night Shyamalan's name and kind of go, ugh. But we quite enjoyed the Knock on the Cabin thing, didn't we?
Was that him?
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? I mean, I know this is—he's not directing this, but and it's still got his hand in it, hasn't it?
The Beach.
Old.
Was it.
I haven't seen that.
That's quite good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't necessarily. I don't have a. I'm quite interested in watching this. I like a Tales of the Unexpected in long form.
Yeah.
That's what it can be.
I like
a bit
like. Shorter form.
Yeah, maybe
half an hour. Bang on.
Yeah, that's the thing I think for me, like initially with the trailer, for the first few seconds, you're like, oh, this could be interesting. And then you start to think about it and you think, well, what can they do with it? Nothing.
Yeah.
It's going to be an hour and 50 minutes of people looking angsty in a glass box.
Seems like I'm a little bit more positive than you.
Maybe, yeah.
And the other one?
Alien colon.
Romulus,
yeah. Mm. What do you think about? So I've seen both of these trailers before. What did you think to those? Have you seen the trailer that before?
That was it. No, I haven't. And I'm completely unaware of this film until I saw the trailer.
Okay.
So straight away, I just thought it was a pastiche, like a knockoff Alien. So I was like, but they're just like facehuggers running through a corridor. Yeah. And I was like, but they are facehuggers.
Yeah,
I don't really have strong thoughts either way, really, on this.
I think it looks like it's more back to the original Alien stuff.
Yeah, well, like a team in space having to battle aliens.
Yeah.
I guess. Look, you look pensive.
I'm not interested in it in the slightest,
Oh, I thought you would be.
No, I'm not. Well, I watched Prometheus. Was it Prometheus was the first of the newer ones?
Of the newer ones, yeah.
And I saw a bit of the following one, but I'm just a bit like...
This is prequel, I think.
Yeah, I don't know if I need to visit that world anymore.
Yeah.
I think I'll live without it.
I think I'm still happy if it's done right, then it's good.
Sorry to bring the mood down, folks.
That's all right.
Can we just add one more thing? We saw the poster for Twisters.
Oh, yeah.
And it is actually this year.
It is, July something.
Yeah, end of July, I think.
End of July, yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
Return of the Finger of God.
Return of the Assholes.
Well, if you want to get in touch with us assholes, how do you do it, our kid?
You get us on the socials at Just So Jables on Facebook, Instagram and X. Or you email us hello@justsojables.com. We're getting quite a lot of messages about retro reels.
Okay,
people
cool.
People wanting to know what's coming next. So perhaps we can announce that next week.
Yeah, we probably should, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
All right then. So Ben, next week?
Not entirely sure yet. I'll give you a couple of obvious options. The First Omen.
Okay.
Which is already out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Civil War, which looks to be a kind of...
I really want to see that.
Dystopian,
yeah, I do.
Crawling through the landscape, trying to fight tribal people, maybe something like that. People with guns and preppers and whatever.
Yeah. Sorry, Ben, I was talking over you while you were saying
that's right.
Yeah. Just remembered, I'm quite excited. Yeah, I really like that trailer. I think it's, A24. It's kind of like in my wheelhouse.
Between Texas and California. In what world would that actually happen?
Oh, is that what it... Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Maybe that.
Okay. Hmm. All right, well, we'll let you know on the socials.
Yeah.
Take us out, Ben.
Cheers, people.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Just So Jables.